Again, we want to welcome you to our Bible study on loving God with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind. And so today's lesson, a heart full of grace. And I praise God for God's grace. And I believe that God's grace really is a source of power for us. It is a source of power because what it does, it gives us that strength to live. It gives us that strength to overcome. It gives us that strength to overcome the sin in our life. And just a few verses that talk about that strength. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, these are not in your notes. This is just an introduction. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. And it's very encouraging to know that Jesus gives us grace to be strong when we are weak, to be brave when we are afraid, to be strengthened with might in His Spirit. We cannot walk in the Spirit in our own strength. We must have God's precious gift called grace, His amazing grace. Now, let's look at some definitions of what is grace. The word grace in the New Testament, in the Greek, is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. This means a kindness or a favor granted. Who grants that favor? God. The Amplified Bible adds, the loving kindness of God to man. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary defines grace as the honor and help God gives to the humble, a greater benefit than all the world can bestow. Grace is the power and motivation God gives us to live the Christian life. Grace is the ability to walk in the Spirit, to forgive others, to truly love others, and to be able to resist the temptation to give in to the old nature. The strength given us when we are weak, when the trials are too great, and the burdens are too much for us to bear. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now let's look at some characteristics of grace, because I think it's so encouraging. Number one, we are saved by grace, aren't we? Salvation comes by grace, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Titus 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Grace is a gift. We can't earn it.
We can't purchase it. We can't bargain for it. We can only lift up the empty hands of faith and receive God's gracious provision of Christ's death on Calvary's cross as payment for all our sins. Don't you love that song? And can it be? Yes, I can still see Frank singing at the top of his lungs. Sometimes he would move away from the microphone. And he would just sing it. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him who to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And then I thought I would read the third stanza because I just love this stanza. I love these particular verses. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Hallelujah. How many of you feel that way? We just got to do our hands like this. So we see that it is a free gift. Number B, grace is a gift. It's given by God to all who believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Psalms 84:11 has always been an encouragement to me. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. And so when I read that verse, by the way, I have that verse in a beautiful calligraphy in my bathroom. And I just say, Lord, I pray that I am walking uprightly. You know, I pray that I'm not grieving the Spirit. I'm not quenching the Spirit. And then number C, grace empowers men and women for service. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is Paul. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace which was with me. How many of you have been asked to teach a Sunday school class, but yet you went into it with fear and trembling? But as you studied and as you began to teach, you sensed God's grace. And all of a sudden, it was no longer fearful, but it was a joy. It was a blessing, and you got to where you couldn't wait to get back to do it again. That's what this means. It empowers us for service. Grace is sufficient for all human needs, from 2 Corinthians 12:9. I know we've read it once, but I'll read it again. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I remember the very first time I ever understood grace. My daughter Lucy was 6 weeks old. I was going through anxious depression, and I really didn't think I would make it through the day, each day, for months. And so she was 6 weeks old, and it was 2 a.m. in the morning, and she needed for me to get up and feed her. It was time to feed her. And, oh, precious Lucy, I thought, Lord, I don't think I have the strength. A week before, a dear friend, and some of you will know this person, a week before they were on staff with the Navigators, had sent me this poem. And I remember reading it, and I thought, this is really good. It was called He Giveth More Grace. And when I woke up and went in there to feed Lucy, those words came back to me. And it was as if God just gave me a new strength, a new power, a new joy. And do you know that God has used that hymn in my life? She's 45 now. I can't believe it. And she made a calligraphy for me. He giveth more grace. Oh, excuse me. You won't be able to tell. When the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength when the labors increase. When you have reached the end of your hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power hath no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And let me read that first stanza again. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. How many of you right now may feel like your burdens have grown greater? He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. How many of you feel your labors have increased? To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. I had reached the end of my hoarded resources. And that night, I understood what grace was. Because that night, I had a strength that was supernatural. And do you know, I have sensed that grace in my life from then until now. As I have walked through some sufferings, trials, heartache, God's grace, by the power of His Holy Spirit who lives inside of me, is the only way I have survived. And I praise God. Her name was Sharon Steen, Chuck and Sharon Steen, missionary to the Navigators. And why she sent that to me, and that it came the week before, I really needed it. And so from then on, God has been so gracious as I have sensed His grace in my life. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how many of you in this room have ever come to a point where you thought, Lord, I can't keep going. I can't. I don't have any more strength. And then God just gives you something like you remember a hymn, or somebody just comes up and says something really kind to you. Raise your hand. If you've ever had that experience, and it's like it's an infusion of vitamins. That's exactly what it is. Now, let's look at to whom is grace promised. Number E. Well, grace is promised to the humble. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about humility, that talk about how God gives grace to the humble. Humility is a very rare jewel in the Christian life. Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good? And what doth the Lord require of thee? You know, I just love this verse because This weekend, Bob and I had the privilege of being at a Scott Dawson presidential summit, and the whole theme was refreshment, reset. And they gave us some books. One was called Reset, and I was just looking through it, and it said, in today's culture, we feel that we have to be busy all the time, that we have to be doing things all the time. And he talked about how 6,000 churches a year or a month, I'll find out, are going out. I mean, completely dissolving because the pastors are burned out. And so I love this. You know, I can remember Peter Doyle saying, he came to bring me a loaf of bread that his wife had made, and I was experiencing the depression. And he said, well, I want you to understand something. It's not what you do for Christ, but what you are being. What are you being? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life? Are you a loving Bob the way you should? Are you spending time with the Lord? So he said, I don't want you to worry about the fact that right now with these four small children, you're not out teaching Bible studies, you're not doing all this, because you're right where God wants you. That helped me so much back at that time. And then I love this. What does God require of us? To do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. In fact, I think he wants us to take walks and to walk and spend time with him. Luke 22:26. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as though he doth serve. Proverbs 16:19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now let's look at some examples in the Bible of people who were humble. The first one is Jesus, where he says in Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Those two words, rest in the Greek, guess what they mean? Yes, refreshment, refresh, recreation. As Jesus told his disciples, come ye apart and rest a while, because there's been so much coming and going. I love that Jesus told them that. Of course, you know what happened after he told them that. So many people came, they didn't have that time to rest, but I love that that's what Jesus told them. So we see Jesus as a perfect example. And then we see in Luke 18:9-14, this is a story of a very proud man. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous, and they despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this man over there. I added that. Even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give all of the tithes that I possess. and the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and that humbles himself shall be exalted. Don't you love that story? God, be merciful unto me. I am a sinner. Luke 1:38. Mary. And Mary said, when the angel came and told her she was going to have a child and that child was going to be the Son of God, how would you respond? I'll ask you that question. But Mary responded with humility. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according unto thy word. And then, of course, her prayer is much longer than that when you look there. Now, let's look at some examples of pride in the scriptures. And I think one would be Pharaoh. Exodus 5:2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Those are pretty dangerous words. And I think he paid for it, didn't he? He paid for it a little bit later. And then the story of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4:30 through 37. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, that means 7 years, until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will. That same hour, that was fulfilled. Guess what, young ladies? Nebuchadnezzar was out in the woods. He was eating grass like the animals. His fingernails were really, really long, like the animals. And he was crawling around for 7 years. It's a true story. Can you imagine that? I think it would be horrible to be out there like that. At the end of those days of 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes unto heaven. Mine understanding has returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and an excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, and I love this sentence, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Amen. And then there's Haman. And we all know the story of Haman. He hated Mordecai. And this was when Esther was brave and went in before the king. But Haman said, when he saw that Mordecai did not bow before him, like the decree was sent out over all the land that people were supposed to do, nor did he reverence him, Haman was full of wrath. and we see the end of Haman's life. Now let's look at some dangers of pride. First of all, pride brings shame. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Pride is of this world, 1 John 2:16, for all that is of in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And Proverbs 6:16-19, these are six things God hates. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. How do we sow discord among the brethren? I think it's by gossip. It's by slander. And it says here that God hates it. Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God gives us some warnings against pride. Psalms 10:2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man struggles with humility because he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. And then number F. Grace gives strength to endure and maintain our joy. Hebrews 4:16, that verse God used in my life that night when I was getting up to take care of Lucy. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. How many times do I quote that verse? That I might find grace to help in time of need. One of my favorite books, although it's an excellent book, although it's a little bit hard to read at times, Evidence Not Seen. How many of you read this book? By Darling Dabbler Rose. About 25 years ago, some friends of mine flew her from Australia, where she was still a missionary at the age of 80 years old, in a house with no floor, just dirt. And they flew her and set her in front of some television cameras. And for 3 hours, they interviewed her. It's one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever seen. And it was such a privilege for me to get to watch this. And so this is a story of a missionary. In fact, she was newlywed, Darling Dabbler Rose. She survived 4 years in a notorious Japanese prison camp set deep in the jungles of New Guinea. Thinking she was never to see her husband again, Darling Rose was forced to sign a false confession and face the executioner's sword, only to be miraculously saved. Now, the missionaries were put in a prison camp. And so Darlene was interrogated. She says this, the brain and the interrogator sat at tables, and I was placed on a chair between them. With the pen and paper before him, the brain always positioned himself on my left, just out of my line of vision. He could then observe my every expression and response to their questions. The interrogator sat directly in front of me and within arm's reach. They were skilled in asking questions, and they would accuse me of being a spy. If they didn't like my answers, sometimes with great precision, the interrogator
would strike me right in the base of the neck. A well-placed blow was painful and paralyzing. Other times, the interrogator used his middle finger, flicking it from behind his thumb. He thumped me repeatedly between the eyes until I thought my nerves would explode. My forehead became bruised and swollen. Often I felt I couldn't endure to be touched again, but the Lord comforted me and strengthened me. I remember Dr. Jaffrey's injunction. He was the medical doctor there. Said as he was being taken away, they separated the men. So she waved her newlywed husband goodbye. He went to another prison camp. She stayed with the women. He said, "Lassie, whatever you do, be a good soldier for Jesus Christ." I prayed that God would help me. The hearings, for first, they would last an hour, then 2 hours, sometimes longer. They were all related to my alleged espionage activities. On and on they went, with enormous repetition. I prayed constantly that God would allow me to answer carefully. They tried to brainwash me into thinking I'd been used by the Americans to spy for them. I never shed a tear before them during the hearings. But when the guard had returned me to my cell and the sound of his footsteps had vanished, when I was certain that no one could hear me, I wept buckets of tears. In desperation, I poured out my heart to the Lord. "Oh, Lord, I just can't go through another one. I can't, Lord. I just can't. Please, no more, Lord." When there were no more tears to cry, I would hear him whisper, "But my child, my grace is sufficient for thee. Not was, nor shall be, but is sufficient." Oh, the eternal, ever-present, undiminished supply of God's glorious grace. Just 2 weeks before I was brought into this prison, the Lord had laid it on my heart to memorize a poem by Annie Johnson Flint. Now I knew why. After drying the tears from my face and mopping the tears from the floor with my skirt, I would sit up and sing, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance and our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, the Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Strength came, and I knew I could go through another interrogation and another and another. I was physically weak and desperately frightened, but God gave me the courage to deport myself like a good soldier for my Lord before those cruel men. Beautiful story. Maybe we ought to do what we did in the last session. And the very last day, we could watch an hour of it on this big screen. The part where she gets the bananas. I let Susan take all three tapes home and watch it. During Christmas? During the break. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. So, it's called Evidence Not Seen. Right. Pardon me? Yeah, okay. We'll just have to have a retreat and go somewhere and watch it. Right, but it is powerful. In fact, I showed it to Lucy and I showed it to my children when I was homeschooling. We would watch 30 minutes a day. And when Lucy and I would be having a bad day, let's say that we were tired and we'd had a lot of company and the house was a wreck, and so we knew we had to get it all in order, we would look at each other and say, "Well, we're not in a Japanese prison camp." And
every now and then we'll still say that to each other as we talk and visit. I'm so grateful for my godly daughter who has taught me so much about humility and grace and suffering. G, grace may be rendered ineffectual. How? By quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Did you know you can lose the grace that has been given to you? How? Grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit, anger, bitterness, harsh words, criticism, unforgiveness, any sin that is not pleasing to God. And you're going through your daily life and you're thinking, why don't I seem to have that grace? Why don't I seem to have that supernatural power, that motivation to do God's will? I love, that's another definition. Grace gives you that motivation to do God's will, that motivation to get up out of bed every morning, that motivation to serve the Lord, whomever God has put in your life to serve. Ephesians 4, we've gone over this verse a lot. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But I have some good news. Look at that number H. And this is shouting news. Grace is a renewable resource. Isn't that wonderful? You can get more of it. You can get more of it every single day. James 4:6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, how can we get more grace? Reading your Bible. Having a personal devotional. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Prayer. Spending time with the Lord. And I may have told you, I'm not sure if I did, but it was 5.5 years ago when I would wake up. Well, I wake up for many years at 2 and 2:30, and I would go in, and that's when I would work on my Bible studies because it's quiet. But the Lord just impressed on Bob and me, because we started waking up at the same time, let's just pray. Let's just have crying out to God. And that's what we do. So now, about 2:30, in the morning, if y'all want to talk to me, just call me. I'm up. And so it's just become a habit. He'll say, are you ready to pray? And I'll say yes. And so that's just been a real blessing. Bob is a prayer warrior, and he has always spent so much time in prayer. And being married to Bob, I have learned to become a prayer warrior. I am much more one now than I was when we first got married. Worship. Oh, don't you praise God that we can worship in person. Worship. Private worship. Where we praise Him privately as we're walking. Scripture memory. Public worship at the church. And as you do these. J.C. Ryle calls them the means of grace. I love the old Puritan authors. He calls them some of the means of grace. You're going to get more grace to be able to walk through whatever it is God is calling you to walk through right now. More grace to love that person who in your life is very difficult to love. More grace to have peace. More grace to, as Dr. John Haggia, not the San Antonio pastor, but the one from Atlanta, says, you need prayer equals poise equals peace. We're going to talk about that next week from his book, How to Win Over Worry and Fear. Now, as we get more of his grace, we begin to experience the riches of his grace, which no money can buy, no gold can purchase, but it's the riches of his grace. What are those riches? Well, from Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that's the first one. The forgiveness of sins, that's the second. According to the riches of his grace, there must be 1,000 riches of his grace if you went through the whole Bible. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Don't you love that? I want us to all say that together right now. Let's all say that together. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in God, in glory, through Christ, by Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So not only should we praise him, because he died for us. He died on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us. But we should praise him, as we've learned last week, for that process of sanctification, where God allows that gracious and continuous operation of the Holy Spirit, whereby he purifies the sinner from the pollution of sin, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to perform good works. But also his grace, his bountiful grace. In closing, let me just ask you this morning, are you experiencing God's grace? Today, this week, this past month, have you experienced that beautiful gift? Remember the definition that we heard? Look back at your first page. It is a favor. It is a kindness that God gives. It is loving kindness of God to man. It is honor and help God gives to the humble, a greater benefit than all the world can bestow. Let's ask God in our closing prayer. Before we sing our closing hymn, let's ask him, first of all, to help us to be humble, to help us respond to every person we meet with humility, to help us have that attitude of humility, to help us be humble as we talk to the clerk at the grocery store, as we talk to people we meet. Ask God to help us have that particular kind of attitude. And then let's ask God to show us, Lord, is there any sin in my life that is rendering grace ineffectual? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes and have our closing prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your grace. For your grace that gives us the ability to live the Christian life. Father, I think you understand us so well, sometimes probably better than we understand ourselves. You understand that we get tired and we get fearful. And we are afraid and we hurt. And so you have given us this special gift of grace to give us the ability to keep on going, to give us the ability to overcome, to give us the ability to not get discouraged, to give us the ability to know that you are a sovereign God. You are in control of every single aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I wanted us to sing. And someone come up, let's all get hymn books, okay? Let's see. If girls, Chaney, if you'll pass those out. Oh, good. It's Amazing Grace. I think it's page 202 or 203. I'm not sure. Do you know that one? Okay, you don't need it. The old one. Page 202. That's right. Okay. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Second verse. 'Twas grace has taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first. I love this verse. The Lord had promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion. As long as life endures, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no last days to see. God's praise, then when we first began. Beautiful. Thank you so much.